God's word is telling us in our study, loved one, that a massive global event is coming, and it will usher in the end of all human history.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday, and thank you for tuning in as we begin a new week. On the program today, Pastor Bill's study of the book of Revelation continues. This next message is from chapter 8 of Revelation and is titled, Silence in Heaven. Now, Pastor.
The book of Revelation is an incredible study of the only true book of, which I would say, a prophecy, full prophecy, in the New Covenant or the New Testament. And so remember, it's a revelation, not of John, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the word revelation, we get our word apocalypse, and it means unveiling or uncovering, like pulling a cover off of a statue and seeing what's behind it. So in the book of Revelation, we see Jesus as we have never seen him before, more so even in the Gospels, because he is the King of Kings, amen? He is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. So the book of Revelation is not only one of the most misunderstood books, it's one of the least taught books in the entire Bible, in the churches today. And yet God, I'm sure it hurts his heart, because God wants us to know the future. He wants us to know what's coming to this planet, amen? So remember the last time we were together in chapter 7, we saw two people groups. We saw the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, and then the second people group was that of the Gentiles. And then the greatest revival in the history of mankind occurred, and the numbers of people that came to Christ during the Great Tribulation period, which is yet future, you cannot even begin to count them. So this morning, with the opening of the seventh seal, the last seal of the scroll, there's only one person who is worthy to open that and loose its seal, and of course that is Jesus Christ our Lord, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, if you will. So I want you to see something beginning now in the movement of the book Revelation, and that is the wrath of God is now mounting. And by the time we get to the bowl judgments, the grace of God then is really nearly extinct, okay? So right now, as we look at what's happening on planet Earth, I want you to remember something, that yes, God's wrath is being poured out, but it's also God wants people to repent. Did you know that? The Bible says in Ezekiel 33:11, God says, repent, live. Why would you die? You know, he says, turn to me and be forgiven. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, loved one. So even in the 7-year period known as the Great Tribulation period, we see God's incredible grace and his love, because people will be saved. Now, with all that being said, let's look now, beginning in verse 1. It says, when he, meaning Jesus, look what he did, he opened the seventh seal. Now, that was the last seal, all right, of that one scroll. And there was silence in heaven for how long? About a half an hour. Now, let me ask you a question. Think about this. Don't email me. I mean, there's silence in heaven for a half an hour. I guess John, I don't know if he had a watch on. Of course he didn't. But there's no time in heaven. See, that's eternity. So I always wonder about what John, how that was all working out. But there was silence there. So up to this very point in our study in the book of Revelation, it's very interesting that if you go back and just do this study on your own, you'll find out that every time in heaven has been mentioned so far, there has been a celebration and worship and adoration and so forth in heaven. Now, for the very first time when it says in heaven is used, for the first time, it says silence in heaven, not one voice. There's not one movement. Nothing in heaven is moving. It's amazing. It's like a holy hush has gone over the all of heaven. And so some people say, well, Bill, that's just the divine lull before the storm. And that's true. but it's quiet there. And let me say something now, and I don't mean to embarrass anyone, but I want you to know that about this silence here, that I strongly disagree with Pastor Raul and Pastor Hector. I know you don't know, but here's what they think. They told me that this proves there's not any women in heaven, but I know that's not true. That's not true. So I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to let your secret out, okay? And if you have a problem with that, it's raul@loveneverfails.com, okay? Now, with all that being said, what does the divine silence in heaven, what does it mean? I'm not really sure. I have my thoughts on it. I mean, have you ever, I remember I had to be on jury duty. And, after, you sit there for all those days and whatnot. And then finally, when it's over with and the jury comes out to give the verdict, remember? And the judge, says, well, what is your verdict or whatnot? Is there a silence in the courtroom? Well, that's maybe kind of what this means here. But I'm more prone to think that silence is a transition now in heaven, meaning it's a transition from God's incredible grace to the judgments of God upon the Christ-rejecting planet. So when the 30 minutes is ending, something's going to happen. The first thing that John sees there in verse 2 are the seven angels, well, they're called the seven angels of presence, okay? Look at it. John, the first thing he sees, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God or stand in the presence of God. And look what God did. And God gave them, what he gave to them were seven trumpets. Now, these seven trumpets, when they're over with, these are going to be announced there, all these seven judgments that's coming up on the planet. But I want you to look back at verse 2 again. I want you to look carefully because he says, I saw, what's that next word? The. So not just seven angels, but the seven angels, and that means there is a specific reference here. It's seven specific angels that stand before God. Now, we could say they're archangels, okay? But we don't really know. We know that there is only one angel in Scripture that is referred to as an archangel, and that is Michael. That's in Jude verse 9. And, of course, both Michael and Gabriel, those angels, they stand in the presence of God. Remember when Gabriel came to Zacharias, remember, in Luke. And Zacharias was in the temple doing his priestly duties, and an angel appeared unto him and said, Zacharias, your prayer has been heard. Man, he was praying for a child, remember? And he says to the angel, have you seen my wife lately? She's kind of old and barren and so forth, and we're past the age of bearing children. And Gabriel goes, do you not know who I am? He says, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. So we know that both of them, those angels, Michael and Gabriel, they stand in the very presence of God. And then it says there, look at the next part, and to them God did something. He gave them seven trumpets. I encourage you to do a study of the word trumpet in the Bible, and you'll find that it is the most used musical instrument in the Old Testament, okay? And it is used to announce almost every important event, if you will, in the life of the nation of Israel. So you can go through, for example, let me just give you a few. You might want to write these scriptures down. The giving of the law, Exodus 19:19, the trumpet sounded. The feast of trumpets, Leviticus 23:23. The day of atonement, Leviticus 25:9. And this is a great study here. The two silver trumpets of Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 through 8, when it was called for moving the camp in the wilderness and so forth. But if you study it out, remember the trumpet was used for a call to war. It was also, when Jesus returns, the second coming, is there going to be the loud trumpet? Yes. Now, but the very function of the trumpets, literally, to warn those on earth. The prophet Joel looked down the end of history, and this is what he said, and this is what he saw about the day of the Lord. He said in Joel 2:1, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, meaning Jerusalem, and let all the inhabitants of the land, meaning the entire world, tremble. And the reason? For the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. Now look at verse 3. And then it says, another angel. And let me just stop right there. The word another in Greek means another of the same kind, okay? There are those that say this is Jesus. This is not Jesus. Jesus is not an angel. Amen? All right, don't ever forget that. No, he's not an angel. So Jesus is the one opening the seal. So this is, in a sense, if we could put a name to this angel, we could just, in our vernacular, say he's an angel priest. And no, he's not a priest, but he's doing the actions of a priest. Look what he does. And then another angel, having a golden censer, he came. He stood at the altar. Now, that would be the altar of incense. Remember, loved one, now we're in heaven. We're not on earth. And remember that whenever God instructed Moses to build the tabernacle on earth, remember it was copies of the tabernacle in heaven. Amen? Okay, so that's very important. So we're in heaven. And so he came and he had a golden censer. And he came and he stood at the altar, which is the altar of incense. And he was given, this angel, much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of how many saints? All the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of incense, remember now, the incense was right before, in the earthly tabernacle, before the veil. And inside the veil was the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant. So the incense represents the prayers of all the people going up to the Lord. And so all the saints, the golden altar, which was before the throne, the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints in heaven, ascended before God from the angel's hands. Now, I don't know how to explain all that, and I don't think anyone else does either, but the prayers of the saints in heaven are somehow involved in these judgments of God. And I love it when it says the prayer of all the saints that angel took and put them in that censer, okay? Here's the thing. Not one of your prayers is ever lost before God. Amen? Don't ever forget that. Not one of them is ever lost. He knows what you're praying for. Now, so these prayers, remember how Jesus taught us to pray? He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So they're praying now, Lord, bring this kingdom in. Bring your kingdom to the earth. Let's get this over with. And then in verse 5, and then the angel took the censer, and look what he did. He took it, he filled it with fire from the altar, the brazen altar in heaven. And he took it, he filled it, and he threw it to the earth. It's like a massive fireball, if you will. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and what? Earthquake. Now, this is the second earthquake, okay? But listen, you have to be thinking, what is going on? What in the minds of the people in planet Earth? Because that first earthquake was in chapter 6, verse 12. And boy, after that happened, remember the kings and all people of all asked the rocks to fall upon them and hide them from the face of him who sits upon the throne. And meaning God opened heaven, remember? And they could look up and see these judgments are from God. And God was saying, you need to repent, in other words. But they didn't. They remained unrepentant. Instead of running to Jesus, they said, no, let the rocks just fall upon us and so forth. And so here, this earthquake, and look what happened now. The second earthquake again. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets, they prepared or made themselves ready to sound. So these seven trumpets that we're going to be studying, we're only going to study not all of them today, of course. But listen, the events here that I'm going to read to you, they are literal. Amen? They're not symbolic or any of that. And they have never, ever occurred on this earth. And so it seems to me in my study that the first four trumpets that are sounded by these four angels here, it seems to me it happens in rapid succession. There's not like a pause, really. It's boom, 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 if you will. And so now the destruction that's going to happen to this planet in the future is unfathomable. Look at verse 7. So the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And look what happened. A third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. So the first trumpet judgment, horrible. Man, I mean, here it is, this vegetation. So can you imagine 33% of all of Earth's trees burned up? This is future, loved one. This is what's coming to this planet. I mean, I just can't imagine that. Or especially, how about all of the green grass? That's all gone. Drive up there toward Oklahoma and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's all literal. But imagine the smoke. Imagine the heat, the atmosphere. You want to learn about climate change? There, that's climate change. So what happens whenever the trees and grass are removed from our planet? Something else is removed too, our oxygen. Amen? Man, did you know, this is a study, I asked Siri. Here's what she told me. She said, one large tree, Bill, she calls me Pastor Bill, not really. She said, one large tree can provide a day's supply of oxygen for four people. Isn't that amazing? Now, let me ask you a question. Now, here comes, you know, it says the third of the trees were burned up. All the green grass were burned up. Now, which part of Earth was being judged? It had to be Dallas or Arkansas, maybe, or I don't know. You know, was it sporadic? Was it centralized? But I know one thing. You're not going to be breathing very well. You know, the Amazon forest is called what? The lungs of the world. Amen? And you know that it produces 20% of the world's oxygen. Think about that. Of course, it's being consumed right now. And you know, after this day, there's never going to be another Earth Day. You know what Earth Day is, right? So we're about 1 billion people on our globe celebrate it by planting a tree. That's not going to work, okay? Now, then the second angel, verse 8, sounded, and something like a great mountain. Again, it's not a mountain. John is trying to help us. He says, I don't know, it's like a mountain. So John is looking and is on fire. Could be a meteorite. We don't really know. And the reason it could be a meteorite, it says it was burning with fire, thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Anybody want to go through the Great Tribulation period? No. So the second trumpet judgment, the sea, and a lot of people believe it's a specific sea because it says the sea, and some people believe it's the Mediterranean. I don't really know if it is or not. I just know it's going to be the sea. And what I do know this, that is a literal great fiery mass that was thrown into a literal sea, okay? Nothing symbolic here. And one third of the sea, it says, became literal blood. Why? Because one third of all the animals living in the sea, they died, okay? Think about that. And then there was one third of the ships in the sea, the ocean, whatnot, they were literally destroyed. You know, research, I did some research on that, and research suggests this, that at any given time, 50 to 100,000 ships and persons are on the sea. That's a lot. I mean, what could cause one third, you know, 33,333 ships or whatever to be just, I mean, gone instantly? Think about that. And not only that, one third of all the sea creatures died. Remember the first plague in Egypt there in Exodus, what is it, chapter 10, I think, verse 17, right in that area. And in that, you know, all the waters of the Nile turned to blood, the fish died, the river stank. Was that started stinking? Was that literal? Yes. Well, these things here are literal as well. You know, if you've never vacationed at the Gulf of Mexico, I'm sorry, America, forgive me. What is it called today? I don't care what it's called. You know what? We can just rename it ourselves. We're into the renaming business today. I don't know. But if you ever been to the Gulf of Mexico, down to Port Aransas, you know, there on Mustang Island or whatnot. And if you've ever gone there and you've rented an expensive condo right on the beach and you're excited to spend time with your family, and then you're notified of the stench and you go, what is that stench? Well, it's red algae, but it's more than red algae. There are thousands upon thousands of fish on the beach, and they're dead, and they're decaying, and there are flies, and you can't even breathe. Becky and I, we've been there. It's the most unbelievable thing. So the thing is that you can't breathe, but imagine a third of all the living creatures, they're dead. And again, this is not local level, and this is global. Look at verse 10 now. And it says, and the third angel, they sounded, and a great star fell from heaven. And it was burning like a torch. It wasn't a torch, okay? It was burning like a torch. Again, breaking up into pieces in the atmosphere, could be a meteor, comet, I don't know. And it fell on a third of the rivers, plural, and the springs, plural, of water. The name of the star is what? Wormwood. Only here in the New Testament. And a third of the waters, plural, meaning a third of the rivers, a third of the lakes, a third of all fresh springs, became wormwood. And many died from the water because it was made bitter, or literally, it was full of poison, and they died. Now, the third trumpet judgment. You know, the fresh water. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 147, 4, God counts the number of stars. He calls them all by name. It's amazing that God has a star in the universe someplace. The name of that star, he named it personally. It's called Wormwood. Now, if you look in the Old Testament, wormwood is listed at least 8 times, and each time it's associated with bitterness or poison or death. So that star is just waiting. One day, in God's judgment, it's going to be used. Remember, I don't know if you heard that false teaching years ago. Maybe some of you are too young to remember, but you know, remember, I think it was, what, 86 when Chernobyl, remember when it melted down and all that, the worst nuclear accident in the history of mankind, and it just destroyed everything. Well, you know, in Russian, or even in Ukraine, the Ukrainian language or Russian language, the name Chernobyl means what? Wormwood. And so there was all this teaching. We're already in the Great Tribulation period. You know, you got to know your Bible. Amen? Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to go there. Now, verse 12, then the fourth angel sounded, a third of the sun was struck, third of the moon, third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, a third of the day did not shine, likewise the night. So the fourth trumpet judgment, now the heavens, if you will. So this judgment is not local. It affects the entire world. Now, would you say the people, if that happened today, would you say you'd be in utter confusion? Man, listen, these laws that govern the universe, they are radically changed. There's changes in temperature, all those things. And, you know, the Old Testament prophets prophesied about this day. Even Jesus told us in Luke 21:25 that there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity. And the sea and the waves are going to be roaring, and men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of the things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Boy, what a word is that from our Lord. In Joel chapter 2, verse 1, it says, for the day of the Lord is coming. It's a hand, a day of darkness and gloominess. And you weren't talking about a tough scripture. Listen to this from Isaiah 13:9. Behold, the day of the Lord comes. And listen how it comes now. Cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land or the whole earth desolate. And God will destroy from it its sinners. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened and it's going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. And God says, I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity.
Well, we're out of time for today, but Pastor Bill will complete this message on tomorrow's broadcast, and we trust you'll tune in once again. Amen? We appreciate you listening along with us today. Have a wonderful day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.